This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday night, a wonderful Friday. We have all kinds of things coming up this hour. We're going to talk a little bit, just a little bit, about the late night TV disaster. These commies are getting fired. Someone wants to know some whys about that. The incoming president not getting sworn in the day after. Why don't we do that? Should we change that? Before we get to any of that stuff and other things, I'm going to address this right off the bat. The guy says, Dr. Jesse, isn't every activist judge who overrides Trump's orders involved in a coup? Okay. I know, obviously, the short answer to that question is yes, of course. But every Democrat is involved in a coup. All of them. In a way. Let's have an honest conversation here. Democrats, there's a reason they don't fly the American flag. There's a reason. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you, genuinely asking, when is the last time in your life you saw a Democrat and a Democrat politician speak lovingly and genuinely about the greatness of America? I know there may be a passing reference now and then, but they, of course, even when they're trying to do that, let's say it's Independence Day and it's Joe Biden, it's always like, I mean, America, the land of the free, a great land. I mean, granted, we're not perfect and we still have a lot of problems. They can't get out one sentence of the country is great. When is the last time you saw a national Democrat speak lovingly about America? When? You can't name one. Or at least not anywhere close to the modern era. If you rewind, you know, all the way back to JFK, those types of Democrats would, but you can't name one. You can't. You can't name one. There's a reason you can't name one. Because they don't do it. The whole purpose of the party, the entire purpose of the modern Democrat Party is to break America. The central platform of the party in every way is this place sucks. That is the central platform. And if you just listen to them campaign, listen to them talk, they scream it all the time. This is evil. This is wrong. America's evil. America's evil. This part's evil. This part sucks. These guys are evil. They suck. They suck. They suck and they suck. We should wreck this, and this deserves to be wrecked, and that deserves to be wrecked. The entire Democrat Party operates as a coup apparatus. If you are someone, for whatever reason, who hates America. You have an axe to grind with America. There's only one political party you would vote for, and we both know what it is. Even you communists who hate listening to the show know what I'm saying is true. The Democrat Party is operating on a national scale, operating a coup, putting together a coup. The purpose of the party is to tear down what we have. Break it. These freedoms, ridiculous. We had the president of the United States of America in the year 2020 to 2024. Joe Biden repeatedly use a phrase that at most of human history in this country, most of American history, I should say, in this country would have probably resulted in you getting impeached. You would certainly never be able to stand for election ever again. The president of the United States of America repeatedly stood up in front of the American people and said, well, no amendment's absolute. The sacred rights enshrined in our Constitution, ones like the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. Well, none of that's absolute. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
No amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
Second Amendment isn't absolute, though, like any other amendment is not absolute.
We talk like there's no amendment that's absolute. When the amendment was passed, it didn't say anybody can own a gun and any kind of gun and any kind of weapon. You couldn't buy a cannon and when amendment was passed.
Everybody thinks somehow the Second Amendment is absolute. You're not allowed to go out and own an automatic weapon. You're not allowed to own a machine gun. You're not allowed to own a flamethrower. You're not allowed to own so many other things.
Now, I know we, and most definitely the Democrat Party, has rotted to the point that maybe those statements don't rattle you, don't shock you. For almost all of American history, politicians would have been afraid to say something like that. The amendments are absolute. There's no question. The Democrat Party is the coup party. The whole purpose of the party is America sucks, help me burn it down. America sucks, help me burn it down. You ask whether every activist judge who overrides Trump's orders is involved in a coup. That's what Democrats do. If there is something that protects America or helps America, something like securing the border, you understand as a Democrat, you have to try to put a stop to that. You opened up the border on purpose. You brought in murderers and rapists en masse on purpose. You're trying to burn the place down. So whenever anyone tries to stop you from that revolution, you know that you have to use your power. Maybe it's a judge, city council, United States senator, whatever power you have, you must use it for the revolution. Let's be honest about where we are. And this was in no way a praise of the Republican Party, which is so feckless and weak and pathetic sometimes, spends too much money, stupid. You know, anything bad you could say about Republicans, I would probably agree with you. But the Democrat Party as a whole, despises the country. And if you hate America, there's only one party you vote for. If you love America, I'm not saying you have to vote Republican. I realize there are plenty of libertarians listening and the people of different bends. But if you hate America, you know who to vote for. They practically scream it on the campaign trail. I've always wanted this. That when people do that, when it's presidential season, and it's debate time and they're starting to have debates. The question was always, well, if you could ask one question of the Democrats on stage, what would it be? Every single time I come up with the same question. Tell me what you love about America. Could you imagine watching a stage full of Democrats try to work their way through that question? It would be full. If they even attempted to, it would be full of all kinds of qualifiers. Now, I know we still have a lot of problems and there's a lot of equality. And obviously, it's a really ugly past and there's been a lot of genocide here. But I love the fact that their compliment would be some kind of, you know, backhanded compliment. I love, my favorite thing about America is we're still trying to get it right. We have a long way to go, but they can't just say I love it. The way you can for the person, the people you love most in your life, your kids, your mom, your wife, your husband. Hey, tell me what you love about your husband. How long would it take you to start listing off things? Not very long. Hey, do you love your kids? Tell me what you love about your kids. Oh, man, they have such sweet hearts that you would never say, well, I mean, he's kind of an idiot and a dirt ball, and I really hate his stupid laugh, and he kind of has an ugly face, and he got a C last year in chemistry, but, you know, he's working on that. You'd never say that about your kids, would you? Of course not, because you just love them. And if I asked you to tell me why, the love would be obvious, wouldn't it? It would probably show up on your face before I heard it in your words. Tell me what you love about your mom. It would just come out of you. My mom, she is the best. She is always, it would never be, well, I mean, she's kind of a stupid idiot. And oh gosh, she's terrible with money. That's not what would come out of you. But that's how Democrats talk about America. Every single part of the Democrat Party today has not always been this way. But every single part of the Democrat Party today works as a revolution. That's what they're fighting. They're fighting a revolution. It's not an accident. They spent a fortune, all kinds of consultants, millions of dollars, set up their national convention without a single American flag. Not an accident. On purpose. Not one Democrat, not one person involved, looked at how their convention was set up and said, maybe we should get the red, white, and blue in here? Not one. They had to be shamed into it. It's a fact. Oh, yeah. You know what, Chris? That's a great one. We'll use that coming back from the break. Dome actually had a great one that just, it's so perfect for what we're about to say. We'll put a little bow on this, and then we'll move on to other things. Speaking of Dome, you need to get your testosterone up, all right? What, Chris? Just listen. You need to get your T levels up. We don't make enough babies in this country. We just don't. We are getting outbred, for lack of a more delicate way to put it. We're getting outbred. We don't have the testosterone. We don't make the babies. Men, women, you need to get your levels where they need to be. It's more important than anything else. That's what Chalk is here to help you with. Whatever you're looking for in your life, Chalk has natural herbal supplements that will help you change your life for the better in every possible way, at home, at work, wherever. You want to hear what they have? Go to Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com. Call them, text them, 50-CHALK-3000. We'll be back with Dome next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. One final word on this about, you know, are the judges operating a coup? And I said, well, the entire Democrat Party's operating a coup. That's what they're doing. And I mentioned how they talk about America. Dome was asked, you know, kind of a version of the tell me what you love about America. You can make fun of her all you want. This is how Democrats always answer this question.
We need to guard that spirit. We have to guard that spirit. Let it always inspire us. Let it always be the source of our optimism, which is that spirit that is so uniquely American. And let that then inspire us by helping us to be inspired to solve the problems that so many face, including our small business owners.
She couldn't even get through that meaningless word salad garbage without throwing it. Did you hear it at the end? Help us solve our many, many problems. They can't do it. They're operating a coup. Jesse, why does the incoming president not get sworn in the day after the election? It leaves too much time for the outgoing president to lay traps and destroy evidence. The idea of a peaceful transfer of power is nice, but this is a different age. Okay. Well, let's talk about that, because I mean, you kind of summed it up at the end. And let's, maybe this will be somber. We'll try to do some lighthearted stuff after this for a couple minutes, but we talk about the problems we have, and our problems are huge as a country. They are. How do we solve them? What do we need to do here? We should change this law here, change that law there. And I myself have complained about this transition period, that after Democrats lose, before Republicans are sworn in, they do a whole bunch of evil things. Barack Obama did it. We have all that revealed now, what Obama did. Joe Biden did it. Remember how they just started handing out billions of dollars to left-wing groups in that little period of time? When the communists are about to lose power, they do the most horrible, despicable things with that time frame. And so we talk about, we have to shrink that time frame. We have to swear in the president the next day. And I agree with all that stuff's true. We'll get to why that doesn't happen in a moment. But here's the God's honest truth. It's something I've mentioned before on the show. We really, truly cannot save America long term unless the Democrat Party changes into something it's not now. Doesn't mean they have to change into Republicans. I'm not saying that. But we can't save the country long term if one of the two major political parties is trying to burn it down. What we're doing now, you and me, elections, local elections, being activists, trying to win. You know what we're doing, truly? We're trying to tread water. We're trying to keep our head above water until the Democrat Party reforms, in the hopes, I should say, that the Democrat Party will reform. Because you can't operate a country long term when one political party operates the way they operate. Yes, right now, because Democrats are so evil, when a Republican wins, he should be sworn in the next day. But where does that tell you? What does that tell you about where you are as a country? If, say my wife has a drinking problem. Believe me, she doesn't. But let's say my wife has a terrible drinking problem. And it's out of control, and she's just drinking all day long, all day, all just this horrible, horrible drinking problem. And so I can't be at work as much, because I need to be home watching her to make sure she doesn't get drunk and hurt herself. Now, being home to watch her may help for a while, but I'm just treading water until she gets herself cleaned up. In the end, I can't watch her all the time. I can't. In the end, she's got to get herself cleaned up, or it's not going to work. Something's going to fall apart. It's going to be disastrous in the end. That's what we're dealing with today with the communists. We are trying to pass enough laws, win enough elections, adjust this, adjust that, get this judge in, bank on the Supreme Court here. We're just trying to keep our heads above water until the Democrat Party, Lord willing, stops being sick, demonic, and evil. That's what we're up against here. This can't go on.
There is irrefutable evidence that detail how President Obama and his national security team directed the creation of an intelligence community assessment that they knew was false. They knew it would promote this contrived narrative that Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help President Trump win, selling it to the American people as though it were true. It wasn't. The report that we released today shows in great detail how they carried this out. They manufactured findings from shoddy sources. They suppressed evidence and credible intelligence that disproved their false claims. They disobeyed traditional tradecraft intelligence community standards and withheld the truth from the American people. In doing so, they conspired to subvert the will of the American people who elected Donald Trump in that election in November of 2016. They worked with their partners in the media to promote this lie, ultimately to undermine the legitimacy of President Trump and launching what would be a years-long coup against him.
We can't go on like that forever. We can't watch the wife forever. That has to change. Let's lighten it up a little bit. Next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. One more word on what we just said, because Jewish producer Chris just said, what if they won't self-reform? What do we do? Because we were talking about how the only way to save the country long-term is a reformed Democrat Party. Until then, we're just treading water, trying to hold the animals off. If they won't self-reform, what do we do? Okay, well, let's say you have a ranch, a little ranch, it's a little family ranch, 500 acres, something like that. You have 50 head of cattle on this ranch. You have a couple sheep, a couple chickens. They're your livelihood. You are an animal lover. Most ranchers are, to some extent, respect for the animals. Let's say you get a wolf problem. Of course, being a rancher, being a sow, that's your livelihood. You're going to have to trap them. You're going to have to kill some of them. But you got to try to hold the wolves off. But you don't want to wipe them out. You don't want to completely exterminate them. You love wolves, but they are your cows and your chickens and your sheep. It's your livelihood. At some point in time, if they won't stop eating the cattle, you have to choose total victory or you're going to have to sell the ranch and move. There's no other way around it. If the Democrat Party will not reform and stop their demonic ways, stop their revolution against the country, then we are going to have to try to achieve total political victory and run them out of power every single place we find them in this country. Oh, but that'll take too long. You are right. That is not the ideal solution. It would take decades and decades and decades. Decades to do that. But there's not another solution. Either they reform or we have to run them out completely. Or we get a divorce. There's no other way. We can't. I've used this analogy before, and it's the most appropriate analogy there is. If my wife wants to burn our house down, and I love our house, I want our house to stand, who's going to win in the end? Can I watch her all the time? Or at some point in time, is she going to get behind my back? I've got to go to work. I let the dog out, something, and she's going to pull out the matches and the gas. If we share a home with a political party that wants to burn the place down, we either have to change their way of thinking or we have to run them out of the house. But you're not going to share a home with someone trying to burn the house down, because eventually they're going to. That's just all there is to it. Eventually, they're going to. We can't build, human beings can't build as fast as human beings can destroy. You can take 20 years designing, chiseling, sculpting the tallest, most beautiful Jesse Kelly statue in the world, and you should. What, Chris? But how long would it take somebody to tear it down? With the proper materials? 20 minutes. It's down. There you go. Move on. Jesse, dear house wannabe, I'm not like House, okay? That my oldest son keeps saying that I'm like this TV character, House. Yeah, I'm not like him at all. How do you handle donations in public that force you to go through their path and guilt you into giving? Our local police and fire departments stand in busy intersections with boots collecting money similar to the bell ringers outside of the stores at Christmas. It works on me and most others, but I figured you had a way to avoid guilt giving. Oh, my answer is no for everybody for the most part. I just say no. Now, I don't want to act like I'm impervious to this. When it's firefighters or cops, I have most definitely given before. But you know that thing that all these businesses do? Would you like to round up 25 cents for when you're at Jack in the Box or something like that? You're just trying to buy a bag of chips in Walgreens. Would you like to donate $2 to the homeless? No. That's my automatic answer. No. And I don't feel the least bit bad about it at all, because most of those organizations, they're doing it for tax write-off reasons, and the charity they're giving it to, they never break it down and explain it to you. It's not like they're giving to Preborn. It's not like they're giving to Tunnel to Towers. Remember what I've warned you about charities? There are charity rating sites, websites, multiple. Before you ever give to a charity, whatever it is, get past the flowery name. Get past that email that looks good. Help us give a sick puppy to the troops. Get past that. Look up that charity on a charity rating website. Chris and me, this was before Corey came, when we started getting requests from these different charities like Preborn or like Tunnel to Towers, we paused everything because I'm so jaded and we went digging first. And we won't support anything that doesn't have basically a perfect rating. You have any idea how many charities out there, I'm using the air fingers quote, swindle all your freaking money and hand it out to everything? I don't trust any of them. My automatic answer is no to everything, and I don't feel the least bit bad about it. That said, I try to be, I'm a horrible person, as you know. I try to always be on the lookout for something that touches my heart. But that has burned me in the past too, if I'm being honest with you. You can't look up individuals with charities. So when I hear a personal story, hey, this family just lost their house, you know, hey, can you help them out? When I hear a personal story like that, oftentimes, because I'm a big idiot, I will think to myself, oh, I want to help. How can I help? And I've been torched on that more times than I can count. Remember that story I told you about after church in Tucson one time? Now, I was pretty fresh out of the Marine Corps. It's not like I had a lot of money, but I think I probably had 30, 40 bucks in my back pocket. I come out of church, and in the church parking lot, go figure, there's this lady, this young mother there, and she has two or three kids. I forget what it is. All small kids. And of course, she's holding one. She's got a baby. And she comes right up to me in the parking lot. Hey, I'm desperate. I've lost this and that. I forget every all the sob story she told me. Can you help out? Oh, immediately, right? I'm reaching in my back pocket. I didn't even know how much it was. Just grabbed all the money I had and just handed it to her. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, I'm so sorry. And then I got in my truck and looked across. There was the church shared a parking lot with a big, I think it was an empty grocery store, but it's a big parking lot. Sat and watched her walk across the parking lot to what I, if I remember right, a brand spanking new Lexus SUV that she and all those poor kids who aren't even eating went and hopped into. And I felt like the biggest chump in the world. Jesse, I've been a regular brand new listener to your show on the news station out of Buffalo for almost 3 weeks now. Oh, the subject of this one is greetings from Canada. I enjoy your show. You have way too much common sense. My only question is, What are your thoughts on Canada, if you have any, currently or from the past? Politically, experiences traveling the country, so on and so forth. Okay, well, I've spent a lot of time in Canada, as a matter of fact. One of my earliest fishing memories was, it was part of the family, and I don't remember whose it was, but when I was in Ohio, my dad was a big outdoorsman, remember, hunting, fishing, that's what he did. They took us up to a cabin. It wasn't anything fancy. A cabin in Canada, and that was my first introduction to musky fish. I was fishing for more aggressive fish, snapping turtles, and then, you know what, Chris? You don't know what snapping turtles are? They are very, very aggressive, and I almost learned that lesson the hard way. Anyway, snapping turtles, all of it. But all right, I'll finish up on Canada here in a moment, then we'll get back to politics. Hang on.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Reminding you, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We'll get back to the politics in a few. It's Friday. I feel like taking a break. Somebody asked about Canada. What are my experiences? So when I was a little kid, we went up, I think only once or twice, to this cabin that someone in the family owned in Canada. It's long gone since then, but went up there, did some fishing, that I experienced that. Then we moved to Montana when I was 10. I'm pretty sure my next experience in Canada was, we were in Montana, which is, I believe, south of Alberta. I think it's, anyway, whatever province, it doesn't really matter, it's Canada, whatever province it happened to be south of, the drinking age up there was 18 instead of 21. And so when we all turned 18, like the bunch of idiot heathens we were, we all loaded up in somebody's crappy car and drove up into Canada so we could legally buy beer. I know, it was really dumb and immature. And kids, please don't do stupid things like that. It's a miracle I'm still alive. So we went up into Canada to get beer. Then my father, there's actually a story behind this. So my dad had always wanted to go bear hunting in Canada, black bear hunting. My dad wants to go, so I'm going to go. Apparently, it's way, way, way up north into Canada. We go up there, go back black bear hunting. So he schedules this trip ahead of time. I need to stress this point for the show. It's scheduled like a year ahead of time. Scheduled and paid for. Scheduled and paid for. Now, this is post-Marine Corps. I am not only dating Ob. Remember, Aubrey was an elite gymnast. She was actually on the Canadian national team. She was on the University of Arizona gymnastics team, a full scholarship, and she made nationals there. Like, she was really, really good. But she's a gymnast. That's why I agreed to meet her. She ends up falling in practice off of the balance beam. She falls off the balance beam like 2 days or one day before I'm supposed to leave for Canada with my father. She falls off the balance beam. She still tells this story to this day like I'm the worst person in the world. And she dislocates her thumb. All right, again, I want to stress, she didn't dislocate her head. She didn't have a heart attack. It was a thumb. All right? But it was severely dislocated. I will hand you that. They couldn't pop it back into place because all the tendons were torn up. Oh, Chris, it was a mess. It was nasty. So she's tough as nails. She can handle it. She had to go in for surgery. I, being the wonderful gentleman I am, was there when she went into surgery and waited there for when she got out of surgery so I could drive her home. Thumb surgery, not heart surgery, not brain surgery, thumb surgery. She gets out. I drive her home. This is the part of the story she very much embellishes. She tells everybody to this day that I dropped her off at the curb and left. That's not true at all. I walked her inside of the house. She had a roommate, too, who was a woman. That's what women are made to do, is take care of stuff like that. I got her situated on the couch. She had a cast on, and she was kind of drugged up anyway. That's probably why she misremembers the whole thing. I made sure she was okay, and then I get ready to leave. And she says, where are you going? I said, I'm going bear hunting, remember? I'm going bear hunting in Canada. But I just had surgery. Yes, and now you're out of surgery, and it went well. Either way, I have to go bear hunting with my father. I shall return, right? That's the way. Look, Odysseus had to go off. Okay, this is what it's like. Lewis and Clark had no choice but to go explore. What, Chris? They had no choice but to go explore out west. What, Chris? What? How many days was I gone? A week. It wasn't too bad. It was a week. It was a thumb. You've got two hands, all right? It was one thumb, and you had a roommate. I went up to Canada bear hunting. In case you're wondering, I didn't kill one. I grew up hunting differently, meaning when we went to Montana, that's when I really, really started hunting. And in Montana, you have to stalk your prey. If you're deer hunting, you got to get out there. You got to get where they are. You have to low crawl. You have to figure things out. If you're antelope hunting, you're going to be all over the rolling hills of the prairie trying to, you're hunting, right? If you're elk hunting, you are walking up into the mountains. You're tracking them. You're hunting, okay? When I got up there to bear hunt, I discovered that they had these super high tree stands. I'll get to that in a moment. Super high tree stands. And that they put these tree stands by these barrels, these big barrels that they put out in the woods, and they put stale donuts out there, and they baited, it was just bait for the bears to come in. Now, again, I don't want to sound like some hippie animal rights activist, as I'm not, but I do love animals. I enjoyed hunting, but I do love animals. The hunting was about the competition, right? And the, could I do it? Could I find it? I had plenty of bear come out and start eating. It didn't feel right. Does that make sense, Chris? Do I sound like a total wuss there? It didn't. What's the challenge? Yeah, I don't want to. It's not that I want to kill a bear. I want to hunt a bear. You know, the killing is not the joy in it. I want to hunt one. I want to see if I can do it, if I can find him, throwing some donuts on the ground and just shooting him from a tree stand didn't seem right. But it almost bit me in the rear end. Bear comes out, rooting around. Bears have incredible noses. Bear starts sniffing my way. I am 60 feet plus up in a tree. When I said a tree stand, don't think I meant, you know, 15 feet up. You are way, way, way up in this tree stand. You just go up there and sit up there for hours. He's sniffing around, finally starts very clearly sniffing my direction and starts walking in my direction. A large black bear. He gets to the base of the tree and he is now staring up directly at me and I'm staring down at him. And he starts coming up. Finish that story in just a moment. Before I finish that story, let me talk to you about rough greens, about keeping your dog healthy and alive. You know what people say to us all the time about Fred? Wow, he's dumb. But on top of that, you know what else they say? His coat looks so good. Wow, his coat feels so good. That's rough greens. You want your dog to have real nutrition. They don't get it from dog food. There is no nutrition in dog food. It's cardboard. It's empty calories. They kill everything in it in the factory. Start putting a nutritional supplement, the number one dog supplement in America, on your dog's food. Live nutrients. You will see such an incredible difference in your dog. Try a free Jumpstart trial bag. Sprinkle it on their food. See what you can see. 214-ROUGH-DOG. Just use the promo code Jesse. Or you can go to roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. All right, I'll finish that story. We'll get back to politics next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.